Okay, good morning. We're going to conclude this piece from the Sefer Niflaot, Mitaras Hashem Yisbarach. We're on page 119. We started the last big paragraph there on the bottom. And as well in the text, we have gotten up to Pasuk Ches. So yesterday we did from Pasuk Aleph to Ches. And we're explaining how this Treaty of Givon caused that there would be no peace between the Jews and the other countries. So, on page 119, in that last paragraph, begins with Hapa'ula. So we see how the other nations saw how Givon, which is a powerful, powerful region, was willing to submit themselves. And you got to look at the psychological perspective here. You mentioned the most important, one of the most powerful regions becomes wood choppers and water carriers. That's very deflating. It's not just a peace treaty was made over here. It was made a treaty to make themselves much more subservient, you know, and certainly in the hedonistic lifestyles that they had, the honorable thing to do, I'd rather die than be moral, and more than that, be humiliated. So this all played on the fact that we have to teach them a lesson that Yeshua shouldn't want to do this to others. So again, if you look on that big paragraph, the first few lines, you see about four lines that are underlined. So right at the end of the underline, we'll begin at that point, V'chol zeh mavur. I'm just going to review the psukim we did yesterday. All this that we said is explained in these texts, as it says. The next few lines are going to just go over what we ended off yesterday. It was when Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, heard that Yeshua captured Ai, and he destroyed it, like he did to Yericho and to its king. Kain Usal Ai, so too that he did to Ai, Ulamalka, to its king. Kishlumi Yoshua Givon es Yisrael, and how the residents of Givon made peace with the Jewish people. Ayub Akirbam, and they're in their midst. Vayurim Odin, they were very much afraid. Ki Ir Gedola Givon Ke Achas Arim Amlocha, because Ir Givon was a very, very big city. Vichyu Gedola Min Ai, is much bigger than Ai. Vichalan Shel Giborim, and all its inhabitants were warriors. Vayishach Adoni Tzedek, Melch Yishlaim, El Hol, Melch Hemer, etc., etc. And Adoni Tzedek sent word to the other kings. Pasuk goes on, V'yes, V'yalu, Chameshes, Malchi, Amori, the five Amorite kings gather up together, they go up, Pirish. Now he's going to explain. Kishmo Adoni Tzedek, he looked at Yeshua, so I, V'chimel. When Adoni Tzedek heard that Yeshua captured Ai and destroyed it, Shumasa Yeshua, he sees it's a Masa Yehoshua. It's an action of Yeshua. It's kilokat Yeshua, not kilokat Hashem. V'lo Hashem yilochem lahem. It's not Hashem fighting for them. Number one. V'odin also, what does he see? Kilokat es ha'ai ba'arma. He captured Ai with cunning and trickery. V'tachbulos rabos kemoshe kastavtilo. And with great, great tricks of battle plans, as we wrote. He saw that. V'imkein hi hochak ado. It was a big proof. Kilomas Hashem. It's not the actions of Hashem. It's Yeshua on his own. Ki im lu Hashem yilochem lohem. For if Hashem was fighting for them, bevadi lo yase tachbulos rabos lahatos enei basar. Hashem doesn't have to go through all kinds of tricks to fool people. He doesn't have to trick anybody. Kelo Hashem yuchal lishloach rish veyesh. Hashem's able to send, you know, like fire. The Yisrov kolai, he can burn the whole city of Ai, you know, like that. So it must be. What's that mean? Ein zos ki hu rak milchamas Yeshua. This is really all we can say. This is a war of Yeshua himself. Shalokat es ha'ai ba'arma, that he took Ai with trickery. The kishma, what's the word kishma mean? And when he heard. Whenever we have the word kishma, it's not just heard. Hu loshen havana. It's an expression of understanding. Kimo kishomea avdecha, that your servant is understanding. Shema Yisrael. Understand Jewish people, not just listen, but understand it. So in other words, he understood what this meant. At least he thought he did. Kinasan libo lahavin, he gave heart to understand. Muhammad sa'ai, this war of ai. Shahoya betachpula, that was with trickery. She'ain Muhammad Yisrael, Muhammad sa'lashem. Shalok der chateva, that this wars of the Jews was not a war of God, that's beyond nature. Raku Muhammad sa'lash, it's a human war. That's a human war, then we have a chance. And here's the critical point. V'cheinu ha'teva eitzel kol odom. This is the nature of all people. Ki bedavar shurot sabot, the thing you really want, yachsik libo lahavi rayos Allah. Your heart will bring you proof to prove what you want. Lo yitein lev lahadavar asos, and you won't give heart to that which is hidden. In other words, you'll look for the first superficial indication that supports what your view is, and you don't look much deeper. And what is it that they wanted? Cain malchei ha'amim, so to these kings, ratzu ma'od lischazek l'muchama, they really wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. They didn't want the other alternative. Look, now, if they would have seen that in Ai, they also got blown out of the water by God, and God is so powerful. You know, as much as they would hate to be better people, but they don't have a choice. They would at least have feigned and lied, and let's make a peace treaty, right? But if they saw they had no chance. But once you already have that opening, and you'll see there's going to be a lot of parallels to these kings and to Paro. We're going to draw lots of parallels to the Paro story and to these kings here. So as long as you get a little bit of a glimpse of superficiality that sounds like what you're saying, so what did they took out for their hearts? What did they get out of Ai? They don't look at the other side. Well, what about Yericho? And also, that story with Ai was the activity that will nullify the letter that said, Harotza Lifnos Yifne. Remember, one of the three options was whoever wants to leave can leave. So, Kiro, Ki Ein Zem Milchama Lashem. They saw that this is not a godly war. So therefore, V'lama Yivrchu, why should they run? Mipnei Yisrael from the Jews, L'makam Acher, to another place. L'eretz Acher, to another country. Ki Lulei Maisai, had it not been for the way I did conduct itself, and had they been destroyed in a miraculous way, then Bavade Borchu Kulam in Aris, B'chad Yisrael, they all would have run away because they were afraid. But once they see that I came in a natural way, so they're not so afraid anymore. Vote Shomo, they also understood, Kesher Osel Yericho, it says, as he did to Yericho Lamalka and to its king, Kein Osel Ayelamalka, he did to I and to its king, and I explained this yesterday. Umuva Me'elosh, and it's understood from those words, so Nosnu Libam Eich Hoye Kvishas Yericho, Shel Pines, it shows you that they weren't really thinking so much of how much Yericho was taken by a miracle. The fact that it was taken with shofars, they didn't give heart to that part. You see the way the words are written. What did they take heart to what? They only looked at what came out of this. What was the bottom line of the destruction of Yericho? Sanctifying God's name, not in their eyes. For who and what was it? Hariga, the killing. Vizel, that was ki lokad Yeshua. So it says, Yeshua captured Ai, the Achrim, and destroyed it. Kesheras Yericho, like did to Yericho, Lamalka, to its king. Kenos Alai, Lamalka, so he did to Ai and its king. Shechrim, he destroyed it. Flohichi and Hashem didn't let anybody live. Umizarom, Adarkam, Shal Yisrael, they see this is the way of the Jews. Lasos, Imashvuyim, Shabiyarim, they do with their captives as they will, as they want, the brutality of the Jewish people. When you say he's born, from that they understood. You have nothing to rely on if you fall into their hands. Don't expect to have any mercy before them. That also was an activity that nullified in their eyes. Whoever wants to make peace, let him make peace. So it all kind of played itself out that they're bloodthirsty people. And through their own activities, so all the other options did not seem very attractive. And also, Va'ot Shomo, they also heard, I'm going to turn the page now, Ishluma Yoshve Givon, that the inhabitants of Givon made peace. Next page, 120. Yu Bekirbam, and they are in their midst. Now, what would happen if they didn't make peace? Kilule Shishluma Yoshve Givon, had the people of Givon not made peace, Le'enochet Slo Lesa of Harbiyachon, they would not be forced together so many together. Kim lokat Yoshua ha'ai because if Yeshua just captures Ai, right? So there they have an answer. Oh, it's a small city. He got it through military strategy and trickery. Through an ambush. So he'll guard himself from that. He'll guard himself for that. So in other words, if it was just a regular thing, okay. So you know what? We'll be careful from it. Ulamashi shlimi yoshe Givon, but now the fact that the people of Givon made a peace treaty, shoyse ir gedol, was a big city. So nafal pachad gam alof, then a fear came over the others. Why? V'gam v'yiyu bekirgum, they will be in our midst. V'no safe Givon al sonav, and Givon will be added to our enemies, and they'll join the Jews, and now it'll be a formidable foe. V'ir ma'od, and they were very much afraid. Kir gedol Givon, because Givon was a big city. He's just quoting the psukim now. V'chihi gedol min ai, and it's bigger than I. All the people are warriors. Therefore, Adonai Tzedek sends messengers. The five kings go to attack them. And also, what do they hear from the peace treaty with Givon and the Jews? They see with their eyes, it's better not to make peace with the Jews. And to nullify the letters. Make peace. As we read already, and therefore they all came to attack. Okay, now we'll do the last section. Vihine, skipping those few lines. Hadov are moving. It is very clear from everything we've discussed. Ki impanu ha-kenanim es atzmu lifnei Yisrael v'hoch l'eretz acheres. If the Kenanim, now let's go through all the possibilities now. If things would have turned out great, that I would have been, the Jews would have gone to I and would have obliterated it. And Achan didn't do a sin. Right? And at that point, there'd be no trickery, and therefore the people of Givon wouldn't have been thinking of doing a trick to the Jews as well and would have made peace with the Jews. So then what would have happened? Two amazing victories. The countries would be totally scared. So what would have happened? So all would have packed out. Now what happens when all the Canaanite, 31 kings start packing out? What happens? Azlachu itam kol behemtam. They would take all their cattle. V'chol kli tashmisham. They would take all their utensils. Mikesef v'zav, gold and silver. V'smalos and their clothing. V'ashulchanos v'tevas v'mitas hayosi yakarim. They take all the expensive tables and chairs and beds. V'amenoiris. They would take the candelabras and all the utensils for sleeping. Whatever they could carry, they would have taken. Probably that's what the Girgashis did also. They would leave their houses empty from anything that was good. And they wouldn't have had much mercy on the fruit-bearing trees. They would have cut down the fruit-bearing trees, in order to make the wagons, Shilohem. Because why? Shilohem laharbas agolos osays tuvam b'yorim. They have to make a lot more wagons because they have a lot of things to carry. If you're moving out, you don't have any moving trucks. You'd have to have a lot of wagons. Where are you going to get wagons from? You need wood. Where are you going to get wood for it? You'll cut down all the trees. V'Hashem yiftiach liYisrael. Hashem promised to the Jews, laharish lahem bati maleim kol tuv v'zeisim ukramim asher lo natat. Hashem promised there'd be houses filled with all kinds of goodies. And olive and vineyards, which they didn't plant. So that's one option, would not have been a good one. And let's say they all didn't go out in one shot to war. So Yeshua would go one king at a time, which itself isn't that exciting. But then what would happen if you're fighting one at a time? Now you see, this could not have happened by Yericho and I, because there was great elements of surprise. But that would not normally be the case. So let's say they start fighting, and they start seeing Yeshua's winning. What are they going to do? And we see that the bad is coming to them from the Jews. So certainly the enemies, as they see they're dying anyway, they'll burn their own city. So the Jews will not be able to inherit their cities. So they won't have a place to rest up in this city. As is normally happens in war. Normally you have a war, your war tires you out, but at least you take over the city, and now you can go and sleep in the hotel in the city. And take advantage of all the good stuff that's there. So you recuperate a couple days. That's the way it normally is, but they're not gonna want to do that. Key, right? So in Yirish Asoni Balair, if they see the enemies coming to the city, Haim Sarfim Vasarim, they're gonna burn their city itself. So Yimatsa Hasoine Miskavarsam, so the enemy will have no place in the land as a foothold, so to speak. So what would happen then? So then again, God's promise would not come true that we would inherit cities, great cities that we didn't build. They certainly would have burnt it. Would not fulfill the pasuk that they would inherit homes filled with everything. So that's second thing. All the more so. So you got options. If they would have left, they would have taken everything with them. If they would have fought one by one, they would have just burnt up their cities as they lost. And what's the other option? And certainly if they would have made peace with the Jews, then this wouldn't have come true. Then everybody would still be in their cities. Jews couldn't go into those cities. So what does Hashem do? He brings about the story that happens tonight. And he brings out that the Givonim make peace with the Jews. Events forced the Kananim's hand, and they would have to gather together, Lilachim Yeshua, to fight with Yeshua, Mikama Bekama Yerus, from many, many cities. For Hashem, and now we will see, shortly, that Hashem, He pilim Lishla Yeshua. He destroys them in the most amazing way. Lifnei Yeshua Yisrael. Kamod Yisiv, as it says in Pasuk Yud, it says, we will get to that. That all these kings and their lands, Yeshua conquered them in one shot. In one day, he conquered the entire southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Not a bad warrior, huh? Because they couldn't get back to their cities at all. We'll see how that fits in the story. So he says, "Siba lahori shlem arim gedolos v'tuvas shalom baniso batim leim kaltuvas shalom leishav zaysim kamei." And that will enable the pasuk to be fulfilled that they will come and take all these cities full with goodies and vineyards and etc. Now to the underlines. V'zeh haya kavanas Yeshua shom liyisrael. This is what Yeshua meant when he told the Jews to chsiv shem, as it says there. In the middle of the battles, we'll see, it says, "Vatem." He tells the Jewish soldiers, "You al tamodu, don't just stand around." Read fuach reyavechem. Run after the enemies. Vizanavta some. Catch them from the rear. Al tachnum lavo. Al titnum lavo alarem. Don't let them get back to their cities. Because that's exactly what they were going to do. They were losing. They were losing badly, but they were out of their cities. That was the difference. Remember, if they're all meeting in a place, they've all left their cities empty. So now they lost the battle, but this explains a lot of things. A lot of questions. Why I'm spending a lot of time on this is because otherwise, the next chapter we're learning is not going to make a lot of sense. So you're going to see it makes a lot of sense now why Yeshua is going to need certain miracles, but to make sure, let's get to them before they get back to their cities. That's critical, right? That's so that's why they won't burn their own cities. That's what happened. That's what it says in the next chapter. Not one city was burnt, as it says in Yeshua Yud Aleph. Zulasi, except for one city, Chotzer Levada, just Chotzer. Sorry, Yeshua burnt it, and it was Yeshua who burnt it. V'chein Ksivin also says, V'chol Shalal La'arim Ha'elav Abhema Bozulam Yisrael, and the Jews got all the loot. V'chol Kavon Hazem Avur Bekra, and it all is explained in the Pasuk, the Yisiv Sham, it says, and that's when you read this Pasuk, it makes so clear what it means. The pasuk over there says, "Lahaisa ir asher yishlima b'nei Yisrael." There was not one city that made peace with the Jews. Bilti hachivi yoshve Givon, except for the Chivites who lived in Givon. Es hakol lachu b'melchama, the Jews took everything in battle. What's the Torah telling us? Nir mavur shekadesh yekil hakol b'melchama, in order to take it all in battle. Ha'arim v'abati melem kaltuv, the homes that are filled with all goodies. It had to be how? L'chein l'hoise ir she'ishlima bilti achiv yosher givon. It had to be that nobody wanted to make peace except for the givonim. Shoshi givon hoya siber shlo hishlumu yeser ha'amim v'nil kachakom yodam akol kechol nitzkelel. It was that peace that caused it all to happen. So he concludes, v'atachai anam, my dear brother, bore, take a look. Ma'ase ha'mesavev kol ha'sibus ha'makayim divrei Torasa. The actions that caused all the things that came out of that, that fulfilled the words of the Torah. How every event is attached, mamish, and linked one to another. How is it linked? Me'anosen ha'Torah, from the one who gave the Torah. Shekocho molichom lichos chefzo, that's his power, brings them to the ultimate goal, levatzeim rasov, to make happen that which he said should be. That moment when the Jews turned their necks in defeat against the people of Ai, as it says, they ran away from the people of Ai, and 36 people were killed. That maka, that was the healing for the Jewish people. To bring out that the Jews would make the military strategy of Ai. Shama Shanas with the Anshai, there where they ran before the people of Ai. Hayo Toels was for such a benefit. Shiamino Anshai, that the people of Ai should believe. Next column, Kiyesh Morach Belev Yisrael, to let the people of Ai believe that the Jews were afraid. Mipneim. And that caused the Jews to be able in the next round to draw them out of the city. And therefore, it's just tying all the events now. And conquering the city of Ai through military strategies and through cunning. Was the reason for the Givonim to make their tricky peace treaty with the Jews. Liyasha, or Liyasha, to give them a chance to fool the Jewish people as they did. And the Givonim's act causes all the other nations to get together. And getting all together enables the Jews to inherit all their places, that everything's in there. And this all fits under what Hashem promised, that what, listen to Jewish people, I will give you these cities and you'll be ready to get into them. And that's what the Pasuk said. Okay. It's interesting, he also brings it to his mamish, what he feels is the psukim that are inherent in the blessings that Moshe gave to Yosef. And then he goes on, and we're not going to do this, where he, the next, believe it or not, there's another 8 pages, where he goes now and goes through the Torah, line by line, and show how everything that happened in these stories were predicted. It's wonderful stuff, but that would go way beyond the topic that we're learning. So it's a very, very good piece to appreciate what's going on over here. We use that as a model lesson for all historical events that happened. See, that's why the Navi says, there'll be no other books, but Yeshua has to be here. Because the whole idea of historical warfare and all its events, you see, get one example, Hashem makes it all happen the way He wants it to happen, and that's how it should always be understood in such a way. Okay, let's now go back to the text and see now, indeed, the amazing, amazing, spectacular things that Hashem was all setting up to happen. So we're on now, Pasuk. What do we say? Ches. Okay, we'll do Zion again. It's fine, doesn't matter. Chazor, it's fine. So they're all lining up to attack Givon. Givon asks for help. So what's Yeshua's response? Pasuk Zion. Okay, we're back in Perek Yud, Pasuk Zion. Vayal Yeshua mina Gilgal. Yeshua comes up from Gilgal. Hu he v'chol amen l'chama. And all the soldiers, Imar with him, v'chol gibor achayel. All the real strong soldiers, that's probably Gad and Reuven, the leaders and all that. Now because he has to do that. He didn't ask Hashem about this either. But I guess he figured this is just, if we didn't go, it would be a Chil Hashem, right? We made a treaty with them. But Yomer Hashem o Yeshua, Hashem says to Yeshua, Al tira mehem, don't be afraid of them. Ki biyotcha nesatim, because I put them in your hands. Lo yamod ish mehem befanecha. There won't be a man who will stand up from before you. Good. So now that he has this idea, now you always see Yeshua always does this. One of his big tricks is always to beat everybody to the punch. Right? So nobody knows exactly when the war is going to happen. So Pasuk tes, Vayavo aleihem Yeshua pisom. Yeshua comes to them suddenly. In other words, kol halayla olamina Gilgal. The entire night, he goes up from Gilgal. Remember, you're going up to a mountainous area. Gilgal's in the lower area. You have to go up to the mountains. The whole night they travel, and therefore there will be an element of surprise. And indeed, what happens the next morning, or even that night, we're not clear exactly, but probably the break of dawn, whatever. Vayehumeim Hashem lifnei Yisrael. Vayehumeim, from the word mehuma. Hashem caused a confusion of them before the Jewish people. An element of surprise always is helpful. Vayake maka gedola begiven, and the Jews smit them a great blow in the Givon area. And now they started to chase them. Vayir defame derech male beis choron. They chased them through the path of the ascent to the place called beis choron. Vayakem ad azeka vad makeda, and they smit them until the areas of azeka and Makeda. What is all that? Which reminds me that I gotta take something out. Where is it? I brought it here. Yeah. Which brings us to the next exciting map. Okay, thank you. Which is the Southern Conquest. And of course, you get a map later on, the next parak, the Northern Conquest. Okay. Alright. It's always good to have a map at 6:30 in the morning, you know. Text all the time can maybe put you to sleep, so this little map will, you know, oh, there's enough copies for everybody. Baruch Hashem. Okay, you guys got in the back there? Yeah? Okay. So the map is a cool map, right? So you see, look at number one. Where's number one? Number one, look for that little circled one with a little line there from Jerusalem to Givon. So number one, Adoni Tzedek, king of Yerushalayim, creates an alliance to seek revenge against Givon. So there he is, number one there, going up towards Givon. Which causes number two, Yeshua responds to Gibonite's appeal for aid. So there's that big, thicker arrow from Gilgal all the way to Givon, that's number two. And now he surprise attacks them. So alliance flees from Yeshua's crushing blow and is pummeled by you. Oh, okay, it's getting ahead of the game here. Okay, so you see that number three, how they're, you see where it says lower base Choron, right? That they're chasing them down this lower base Choron, and you see Ayalon, the Y is missing, looks like an Avalon, but it's Ayalon. And then below, Azeka, right? And you see Makeda, right? So you see a whole bunch of different cities where that's where they're chasing them, in that area, okay? So just hang on to the map, all right? And let's continue back inside the text now. Okay, we're on Pasuk Yud Aleph. And here is the... Now, it's bad enough that they're losing the battle. But Hashem said, I have still more to show. Since we're really only having one or two battles, so I've got to really flex my muscles. So, Pasuk Yud Aleph, one second. Vayhi benusam mipnei Yisrael, and it was as they were running away from the Jewish people, heim bemorad beis choron, they are now on the descent of the lower area of Beis Haran. There must have been an ascent to Beis Haran. There was a way to go up to Beis Haran and then the descent. So they're chasing him up the mountain and down the mountain, however it is. Vashem hisich aleihem. Hashem casts down upon them avonim gedolos min hashamayim, big boulders from heaven, ad azeka, until they running until azeka. It's on your map there. Vayamusu, and they died. Rabbi Masher Meisu Me Avne Habarod. More died from the stones of Barad, from the hailstones, from the hailstones, Masher Hargu B'nei Yisrael B'charev, more than what the Jewish people killed with the sword. So like, this is like unbelievable. It's a great movie, right? It's like unbelievable what was going on over here. Now, it's very interesting, very interesting. There's one little letter there that's very interesting. The hey, ha, Barad. The rock, the hailstones. I mean, to just say, many died from hailstones. It could, you know, be'avne Barad, from hailstones. More died from hailstones. No, from the hailstones. I mean, the, of course it's the hailstone. What other hailstones are there? But whenever you say the, it's an important hailstone. So let's take a look at a chazal that I'll read for you. Where am I over here? Give me one second. No, gotta go on here. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Come. Ooh, where is it? Where are you? Oh, if I don't have it here, I'll get in the other one. So it says like this. It says when it's a Medrash Rabbah. It says as the hailstones were coming down, so Paro asked Moshe to daven to stop the hailstones. So it's raining down hailstones, and Moshe davens. So there is a point where the davening works. So now what happens when the davening works? The hailstones stop falling. So what happened to hailstones that were in midair? Now there's a Medrash. Remember, Medrash, you got to understand it on a little different level, right? Not like the way you learned it in third grade. But it says, Vayichtalu hakolos vabarat. So then the noise and the hailstones stopped, says the Medrash. Umotalu nasanatsum. There's no more rain. So the question is, so in other words, what happened is, tlo'on berifyon. It says those hailstones that were in mid-flight, they just stopped. They just stopped. So they just can't stay there forever. Ve'emasayardu. So when did they come down? So the Medrash says, Bimei Yeshua al-Amoraim. Amoraim. It was in the days of Yeshua when he's fought the Amorites. Shenemar, it says, as they ran away from the Jewish people, Hashem Yishliach aleim avonim gedolos v'shem, Hashem sent down big rocks from the heavens, hailstones, and that was it. V'hashavet, but, you know, Hashem didn't send them all down. V'hashar, but the rest of the hailstones, asidim leirad bimei Gog u'Magog, Hashem will wait until the battle of Gog u'Magog. That's when the final hailstones will come down. And that's what it says in Yecheskel, V'geshem shotem v'avne al-gabish, Amterlov, I will bring down avne al-gabish, the hailstones, as we wipe out in the final battle that happens. All right? So, obviously, this is not to be understood literally, because I'm sure the great telescopes would be able to spot these hailstones somewhere in the heavens if they're still waiting to come down, right? So obviously, you know, this is understood allegorically, this Medrash. But the point of the Medrash is trying to say that Hashem didn't let his full might of all the hailstones go in one shot. They've been evenly distributed over big events in history. So somehow we see a connection here between the Yetzias Mitzrayim on the one hand, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and the Melchemes Gog u'Magog, the final war of Gog u'Magog, when that will precede when Mashiach will come. Right? So, obviously, when Hashem brought down the hailstones, let's see what the Torah says over there. So, it says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Tes, in Sefer Shmos, it talks about the hailstones coming down. And now Parah says, oh, I sinned. This time I sinned. You're a tzaddik. I'm a Russia. Pray to Hashem. Stop all this. Right? Vayomer lev Moshe. So Moshe says, Kitzei Sa'ir, when I leave the city, I will spread out my hands to Hashem. The thunder will cease and the hell no longer be. Laman teda, so that you should know. Ki la Hashem ha'aretz, that the earth is God's. Okay. Right. That's what he's saying. So that is the point of it all. Right? To know that Hashem is the king. This whole story was to show you this makkah specific. I mean, all the makkahs, but remember, there were different levels to show where Hashem is the king of the world. And it's the same thing it says in Sefer Yecheskel. When the war of Gog and Magog will happen. What does it say when those hail souls will come down? V'hiskadalti v'hiskadashti v'nodati le'inei ha'goyim rabim. My name, Hashem, my name will be great and sanctified and known in the eyes of the goyim. V'yedun will know ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem. So you have the first and the third are telling you that. So obviously, what's the middle one? Right? So we can understand that even the hailstone in Beis Chorin in the days of Yeshua was also for that goal, to teach the nations of the land of Canaan the lesson that even though they may have learned earlier that Hashem is fighting to them, right? But to understand how powerful Hashem is. And that's what the Ramban on Sefer Shmos says, this whole idea. He says in Sefer Shmos, he says, a great miracle, what's the purpose of a great miracle? You know, it proves that there is a powerful God who creates the world and renews it and knows and supervises and is capable. And therefore, at different parts of the Makos, at different stages of the Makos, you know, Hashem tells Moshe the purpose of each stage of the Makos. So in the beginning of the Makos, it says, Laman teda, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. I am the God in the midst of the land. To teach the concept of Hashkocha, that there's divine providence. And that God doesn't just leave anything to chance. That was one critical thing in the Makos. And then another place by the Makos that we just read, Laman teda ki la Hashem haaretz. We just read that. You should know that the land is to Hashem, to teach al chidush, to teach that Hashem renews creation every moment. There's Hashkocha, Hashem is supervising, and that He, Mamish, is what's renewing the powers and the energies every moment. Because they're all His, and Hashem created something for nothing. And then also it says, Bavur teda ki ein kamoni b'chol haaretz. You should know there's nobody like me in the whole world. To teach about my ability, that I have complete dominion. These three concepts of God's constant supervision, His constant ability, and His constant, constant supervision, constant force of making things happen, and His ability to get things through. And all those were the things the Egyptians didn't believe in. So all the Makkos were to teach them these ideas, which are basically the Yud Gimel Midos. It's the 13 Animamins. The whole point of the Makkos Mitzrayim was to teach basic fundamental Judaism. So if that's what was there, and that's what's going to happen in Lachamas Gog and Magog, so that's exactly what's happening over here. That's exactly what's happening over here. And of course, the lesson, now, you know, we know God doesn't overdo with miracles over here. God's the kind of God, you know, I'm not going to do every muntik and donishtik. You know, we save it one big shot and let's get out of here. Right? So He takes Mitzrayim, which is the biggest country in the world, the most popular country. It was the power of the world. There was no other power at that time. And he said, I'll just do it to them and that's enough. Okay, now 40 years pass and now there's a lot of power in the land of Canaan. So let me wait till they all get together for me to do my show. I'm not going to do a separate show for every country. You know, Hashem doesn't do that, right? He does one shot. Let's get them all together, and boom! Right? And this is like, the shock factor is like so incredible. Like, once you lull them into realizing that the thing is just a Jewish power alone, and God isn't so involved, right? It's another way to throw everything they can. So Hashem, that's exactly what we want to draw you into this. And now you're going to see God pummel you like you never saw before. There'll be no doubt in anyone's mind that God was just playing around with them. And the power, can you imagine hailstones coming out from heaven? Like, it's like, forget it. You see, you go to Yericho and your walls come down. So down in the earth, down here you can't win. And even up there you can't win. So Hashem's hitting them from every end. And that's, you know, if you recall, that was what it said, that they all got together, pe'echad. They all got together as one group. And when did you have that? You had that with the Tower of Babel. You have this over here. You have this with Muhammad's Gog and Magog. It's the three times, right? It's like incredible. You had it with Avram, right? When they attacked Avram. Right? What happened when Avram took on the four kings? What does the Medrash say? Right? He threw sand at them and it turned into arrows. So Hashem likes to get everybody together. And that he reserves the miracles in front of the big audience. Why? Not that he has an ego, because that makes a big Kiddush Hashem. So now we're coming into the land of it. So everything was just a preparation for this battle. This was the battle where Hashem wanted to unleash it in one shot. And what's so incredible over here is that, and it's really the beauty of Eretz Yisrael again. Why? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, when we went out of Mitzrayim, Hashem kind of did it on its own. The Jews really didn't do very much. They just stood there and were the helpless damsel in distress. And Hashem said, okay, let me just take care of everything. And I'm just going to blow them apart. And the Jews, you know, okay, they did. They went into the sea, okay, shkoyach. So they got the Egyptians to follow them. All right, I mean, that's about all they could do, right? But now you see over here a beautiful synthesis of the Jews actively destroying their enemies. And you can imagine the miracle that went on over here. Now think for a minute. The Jews are chasing these guys down a descent. How far away are they from them? Are they far away? Maybe, I don't know, 100 yards, 1,000 yards? They can't be 5 miles away from them. No one's running away if they're that far away. You're hot on their tails. Now what do you got? You have heat sensory, what do you call them? Smart bombs. Right? It's coming down. Now, you're coming way up. They're coming from way up. Right? You know, and precision. Those things are killing only the Amorites and not the Yidden. It's not like Stam, it's just a hail. Oh, what bad luck. A terrible hailstorm came. Oh, our bad luck. We had to fight the Jews on the worst hailstorm of history. Okay, but millions of Jews would have died also if it's a hailstorm like that. But it was precision pinpoint. You see the hashkach over here? They're looking at all these hailstones. Must be a lot of Jews are dying. Not one Jew dies. The Jews going after a guy trying to kill him, and like Mamish here, and whew, boom! You know, one of these Israeli plane, you know, bombers, you know, that hone in exactly to the apartment number. Right? You got the Israeli soldiers on the ground looking, and you got the signal, boom! Knocks it out. Within 100 yards of where the Jews are. And this is without any technology. It's Hashem's technology. So you can imagine what kind of Kiddush Hashem this was. This is a merging of the Jewish people fighting. They're not just sitting back. They are fighting. And at the same time, Hashem is directing his miracles within it in a way that mamash separates them from the goyim. You know, that's no different than the whole story of keeping Shemitah. That I told you on Shabbos. It's exactly the same story. Hashem pinpoints his brachas that only the one keeping Shemitah, his bananas, survive. And the other one's not. It's the same thing. You need the same gvura to be the farmer who keeps Shemitah when nobody else keeps it. You need the same gvura. You have to mamish actively do something while everybody else suffers. So this becomes the way it was meant to be in Eretz Yisrael. This is the conquest Hashem really wanted. Yericho was wonderful for Hashem to say, okay, just know it's me. Okay, well, you know it's me. I mean, you see, the wall sank. You know it's me. Okay, I was just a subterfuge to sucker everybody, to set them up for the real thing that's coming up. But this is the Jewish people's proudest moment of history. This story is mamish, the proudest moment of history. Got to carve this into our minds, where Jews are fighting, and as they're fighting, Hashem is sending down miracle hailstorms and wiping out the enemy, and that's exactly what will happen in Milchamas Gog and Magog. In other words, historical events that we're going through today are leading us to the Milchamas Gog and Magog. We are heading to the Milchamas Gog and Magog, and we don't know exactly how it's going to be, but it's got to be in the same way. Just like Avraham Avinu, it's the same three times. Avraham Avinu, he runs out, right? He runs out. What happens? He throws sand and it turns into arrows, right? So obviously Hashem is helping him as he's fighting him. And that was in Eretz Yisrael too. It was in Eretz Yisrael too. And now he's saying when they want to conquer Eretz Yisrael, it happens again here. And what's going to happen with Gog and Magog, it's going to be the same thing. There's going to be boneheaded mistakes by the Jewish people that will set up the world to get, and that's exactly what's happening. The whole world is going against the Jews. We say, you stupid politicians, what are you doing? It's Hashem, it's Hashem, it's Hashem, it's Hashem, it's Hashem. To get the whole world there, and we will wait to see the grand finale when the Jews will fight and they're going to be so outnumbered in all this, and you will see things beyond what anybody can understand. How Hashem will make the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. So you're just getting a preview over here of what's ultimately going to happen. Was there a question? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. how is it that 5 minutes after all these miracles, the Jews are back doing the same crap that they've been doing? You say God is, Hashem is going to finally show miracle of miracles, and then 5 minutes later, so we'll be,
That's a good question. Why did the Jews sin right after these things? It's a good thing to talk about next week. All right, that's a good starting point. Just to simply answer, so you can sleep tonight. I mean, just on one foot, it's not a complete answer. Is that Hashem has to always leave some free will choice? He has to always leave some free will choice. You reach a certain level, so now you have to have a Yetzer Hara commensurate with the new level that you're on.
And if this was the miracle.
Now the truth is, they did do quite well for a while on this. They didn't turn around and do sins the next day. So, and you'll see why, we have to wait and see why they do sin. There's another factor that comes into play. I don't think any of them sang sin the next day, the next week, the next month, the next 5 years. Okay, we have to see what causes the sins is a new factor, and that we have to learn what that factor is, which quite possibly will not be a factor that will happen when Gog and Magog happens. To be continued.